the raveled sleeve of care. He looks younger when he's asleep, with the golden brown fringe of his eyelashes shadowed against his cheeks. It's possible to see the man he was 10, even 15 years earlier, sitting through a recruitment speech, already knowing he was going to sign up, already knowing what he was born to do. The crease between his brows fades and smooths away, unless there's a nightmare coming. The small line serves as a barometer for the night's sleep to come, whether there would be soft snores or tossing and harsh mumbling from the other side of the bed. Even in the midst of nightmares, he has the face of a boy, one who has seen too much, enough for a lifetime. The laugh lines around his eyes soften. It's possible to see the child there, the one who first laughed at his sister's antics, the one who took great pride in knowing the dirtiest jokes of any boy in year 6, and even more pride in sharing them, the one who left frogs in beds, ants in the sugar, the one who never dreamt of anything worse ahead than a skinned knee. What chemical transmutations take place? What alchemy of the mind and body? That so much of John melts away with the simple fall of eyelashes to cheeks, soft and basil. Impatient. When is the doctor not the doctor? The nurses hate him. John knows that, but he can't help it. It's Sherlock lying in that bed. Sherlock so pale he blends into the flimsy sheet. So pale the bandage at his temple vanishes on his cheek. John asks about tests, probably unnecessary. Demands to see Sherlock's chart. Illegible, even by his standards. What sort of hospital is this? And questions every word out of the other doctor's mouth. He clings to Sherlock's hand through it all, willing those mossy eyes open. And John knows that the only thing worse than having a doctor for a patient is having a doctor's loved one for a patient. But it's Sherlock. None of them can understand that. None of them can understand that clutch of fear at seeing Sherlock take a blow to the head and crumple before John can get there, can interpose himself between that perfect mind and the falling pipe. None of them can understand the panicked litany in John's head. Unconsciousness, traumatic brain injury, married to his work. None of them can understand what the loss of even an iota of functioning could do to such a well-honed machine. All they understand is that he is not the doctor here. When is the doctor not the doctor? When he's the boyfriend. Ravenous. It's the neck. The neck was the first thing he noticed. If he wasn't so hungry, so ravenous, he'd laugh at the cliché. He'd noticed because it was hidden. He'd noticed because, even hidden, he could discern the long, lean lines. He could picture pale skin, so pale that veins show indigo traces. So he followed, and was caught. Why are you following me? Blink, stammer. Harmless, he was. Just another ordinary man drawn by something extraordinary. Surely it happened all the time. He smiled. It was friendly, that smile. Open. Hardly any teeth at all. Won over. Dinner. Oh, but neither of them ate, did they? Not yet. The scarf came off, and his mouth watered. It was just as he'd imagined. Later, they walked city streets. He's sharp, this man is. Clever. It's unexpected, but not unwanted. That clever curiosity, though. It's so easy to lure him into an alleyway. What's that over there? Ridiculous, really. Shadows close round them, and he can feel his harmless teeth grow, lengthen. So hungry for this. For him. So simple. So sweet. To press him against the wall. He's surprised. Pale eyes wide and dark. But that basic human arousal is obvious against his waist. Pull him down. Slide of tongue against the perfect white neck. Fangs sharp and ready. John bites. Flashpoint. Flashpoint. That's what they called it then. There was another word, a weaker word, a colder word. Interface. But flashpoint is what John always thinks of. Bombs in the air, on the street. Violent outcomes. Wounds that need healing under his hands. Bodies shredded at the urging of emotion. Opposite sides slamming together. Protestant, Catholic, then. Now. Tall and wiry, short and square, dark, light, cold, warm. Opposites, colliding in the heat of battle. Flashpoint, the first one after putting a bullet through a man, for the sake of this man. Dinner, what dinner? Different hunger roaring now. Alive and burning with it, with the near kiss of death still at his mouth. One exchanged look, utter clarity. Bodies slamming against a wall, mouths biting. Hands seeking, touching, grasping. So alive. Violence at the interface. No peace lines here. Every time, bodies shredding in new ways. In oh God, and yes please, and just like that. In tearing cloth and bite marks. And John, fuck me now. Violence at the interface. The flashpoint that is 221B. Meeting of opposites. Wounds that need healing under his hands. Hands that grasp and pin and hold and bruise to heal deeper cuts unseen. Words that bandage. Fantastic. Brilliant. Beautiful. Mine. Opposite, stretching and straining and crying for victory. For freedom. Sherlock is John's own personal Belfast. Love and fear. Love and fear were this. John, in a darkened swimming pool, wrapped in a heavy winter's coat of plastic explosives and sweat, with the murderer's words in his mouth. I will burn the heart out of you. Bitter sense of loss. One last look. The first time. Love and fear were this. John, with a gun pressed to the base of his skull. On the count of three, shoot Dr. Watson. All thought failing, all logic gone in a glint of blue steel. The pressure point he'd failed to see, twice, until the invisible thumb was digging into raw nerve. Love and fear. Have one, you have the other. John walked the battlefield of Sherlock's life with stoic disregard. No, not right, with eagerness. It was what made him John, that essential, elemental thing that formed the pressure point at Sherlock's neck. It was what put him in danger, both of them in danger. Love and fear were this. John, standing on the pavement with a rifle aimed at his head. I told you how this ends. The dead hand on the pressure point, relentless, digging with brutal efficiency into the one soft spot in Sherlock's armor. The ledge, gritty beneath his shoes. John's voice on the phone, asking the impossible. The third time, the pressure makes his knees buckle.